Good. Are you ready for the next session? I was really having a very, very nice and very interesting conversation outside with some men, some young men, and I love that because the way the world is going to move is by people rising up and speaking the word and moving the word, you know, and it was very nice, very exciting. Mm-hmm. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, because that's an inner joke. It's a Cuban Mexican joke. Jeremiah's ministry lasted like 41 years, and it was around the middle of that time when Babylon started coming to Jerusalem, and the siege started, and eventually it took like 20 years for it to fall. And when it falls, basically is when the written ministry of Jeremiah finishes. We don't know anything else about his life, really. Around the time Jeremiah started his ministry, around that time, Daniel, it was a little baby. He was either a little baby or a little boy, or he was close to being born. We don't know the age Daniel had when they took him to Babylon, but we know that he was one of the young ones that were taken to Babylon. As I said before in the closing of the previous session, when Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were taken captive, they really didn't have a lot of time to choose, you know, what clothes to take and take some local food to enjoy when they were in Babylon. But they certainly had enough time to take their God with them. And God went with them. And as we're going to see, it was God who made all the difference in the life of these men. Go to Daniel 1, please. Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Asphenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. You see, in this situation, they didn't even have control on what their names were going to be. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was not concerned with cholesterol levels or anything like that. But he didn't want to eat food that had been dedicated to other gods. And all the food that was from the table of the king of Nebuchadnezzar had been dedicated to other gods, to his god. So that's the reason Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You know, it could have been very easy for Daniel to say, well, you know, I'm here, so tough luck, I have to do it. He didn't. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who had appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. It says that God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And that happened even in Babylon, where they had been taken captives. Verse 18. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. You see, they took the 10-day diet and they became 10 times better, right? And then it says, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. That was many years. Many other people had been taken to Babylon. Maybe many of those who had been transported were happy to receive food from the king's table, but not these 4. Maybe many of them didn't mind eating food dedicated to other gods, because probably in Jerusalem, they had already been eating food dedicated to other gods. They had other gods in Jerusalem, some of them, and when they were moved to Babylon, they also took their gods with them, and probably were very willing to embrace some new gods, therefore increasing their portfolio of idolatry. Daniel 2, verse 1. And in the 2nd year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Remember that while this is happening, the siege in Jerusalem continues. Things in Jerusalem continue. Verse 2. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king, who was not stupid, answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. And remember, this king didn't have a lot of scruples when it came to roasting people and doing things like that. In this case, he told them, you know, if you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation, I am going to cut you in pieces. You know, that day the menu was not going to be roasted false prophets, but it was going to be wise men cut into pieces, no? Not roasting, but like sushi of wise men. Verse 6. But if ye show the dream, if you show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, and let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. You know, I'm sure at this time they were getting nervous, right? Because they had already told the king, listen, king, you are asking us something that has never been done. And the king says, no, you are going to tell me the dream, and you are going to tell me the interpretation. And if you don't tell me the dream and interpretation, I want to tell you that I just hired a new Japanese cook. He's very good with the sword, and you are not going to end up nicely. So they are nervous, and they are telling him, you know, the dream. King, you are asking us something that has never been done before. We cannot do that. Let's keep reading. Verse 7 again. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such thing of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king required, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with the flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men in Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men in Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. It says mercies of the God of heaven in relationship to receiving the revelation for that specific situation. We know that it is God's prerogative to give revelation or not. It's up to him. But one of the merciful ways of God is giving the information when being asked. Verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth of kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men in Babylon. He went and said this unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. It is so interesting that in that situation when Daniel is probably for one of the first times in front of Nebuchadnezzar, one of the things he tells him is, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He made sure he mentioned his God to the king. He said, there's a God in heaven. 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets, make known to thee what shall come to pass. So, was God able to give Daniel revelation, even if he was so many miles away from Jerusalem? Yes, God was able. It's not that Daniel prayed to God and he got a message saying, sorry, out of area. No, God answered to him. Daniel was far away in another land with a strange people, with other food, other language, other name, but God was still with him. Verse 45. Let's go to verse 45. We're not going to read the rest, but let's go to verse 45. After he tells him the dream and everything, in verse 45, the latter part of the verse says, The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Remember that Daniel had mentioned God to the king, and at the end, the king recognizes that it was Daniel's God who was able to do this. Daniel is not promoting himself. Daniel is not preaching about himself. Daniel is not portraying himself as the great one. He is talking about God, and God is getting the glory. Let's keep reading, verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Yes, Daniel had to learn another language. He had to get used to another culture. He had to adjust his life to many new things. But he was with God, and God was with him. And from the position and in the place where he is now, he's going to live his life, and he's going to seek the peace of that city, and he's going to have a future and a hope in that place. Go to Daniel 3 now. You are right there. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And you know, they call all these people are there. This is a very important moment for Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set off. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast that into the midst of a burning fire furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made?
Well,
but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads signed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Going back to verse 15, if you go back to verse 15, it says at the end, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And at the end of verse 29, it says, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And that's the same person speaking. Is Nebuchadnezzar speaking? He said, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? But at the end of what happened, he says, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. That is a great change that happened in just a few verses in the same situation. verse 16 again, we read, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Sorry. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here, there are two things that they mentioned that they would not do. Serve other gods and worship images. They said, we are not going to serve other gods. We are not going to worship images. They knew God could deliver them. But even if they didn't get deliverance, they were not going to obey such a commandment. God wanted them to pray for that place that we're in now and do their best to seek the peace in that place, of that place. But that didn't mean to give up on their believing. It didn't mean to adopt the gods and serve the gods of the place they had been taken to. They were willing to do many things. They were willing to learn a new language. They were willing to get used to a completely different culture. They were willing to change their diet. They were willing even to receive a new name. But something they were not willing to do was to leave their God and adopt other gods. They were not going to stop worshiping the one true God, and they were not going to stop serving the one true God. And as we can see, making that decision really had an effect not only on them, but on Nebuchadnezzar the king. Maybe the king had thought that if any king deserved to have a big statue made of his own image, it was him. Maybe he thought that being the most important ruler of the time, he deserved to be worshipped. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't think that way. And they didn't mind letting the king know. But even with the pride and twisted attitude of the king, Nebuchadnezzar saw what he saw and got to the point from, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? To, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Verse 2, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. This is the king Nebuchadnezzar speaking about God. I can assure you that King Nebuchadnezzar hadn't learned these things about the one true God, the real God, from his soothsayers, from his magicians, from his own prophets. I can assure you either that he hadn't learned this from the false prophets that had been transported from Jerusalem to Babylon. He hadn't learned this from the priests and preachers and teachers of the law and pastors that had left Jerusalem and were now in Babylon. He had learned these things from people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is King Nebuchadnezzar speaking about the one true God. Verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret trouble thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Now you can read the dream later, but now we're going to read the interpretation that Daniel gave him in verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Nebuchadnezzar was at this point at a point of deep pride, and things were going to happen unless he recognized that God was God. Verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Tranquility means to be at ease, to prosper. What better way to seek the peace of that city than seeking the peace of the ruler of that city? Now Nebuchadnezzar had two options. One was to heed to the counsel of Daniel, which meant he had to acknowledge that the heavens, that means God, do rule. He also needed to do something about his sins and iniquities by righteousness and by showing mercy. And if he did that, he would prosper and be at ease and be peaceful and secure. The other option he had was to continue in his ways and let pride and unrighteousness and lack of mercy get the best of him. Let's see what happened. Verse 28. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, after Daniel had talked to him 1 year later, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagles' feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he died according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Go back to verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. In this letter, Nebuchadnezzar wrote, he acknowledges, in this letter that Nebuchadnezzar wrote, he acknowledges two things, that he was wrong and that God was right. And in order for this to happen, we saw that Daniel went to him and told him what he was supposed to do. It took him a long time to finally follow Daniel's counsel, but he eventually did. And that produced the restoration of his kingdom and also the restoration of his life. What a great record. And really, this is the last we read about Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. But it's great to see that when Nebuchadnezzar had this situation, Daniel came to him and Daniel told him, Listen, king, you need to recognize that God is God. And you need to recognize your sins. And you need to do righteousness and to do good things. The king listened to Daniel, but he didn't do anything really about it. 1 year later, because of his pride, he said, What a fantastic and great place this is that I have built. And starting right there, the situation got really bad. He was like a beast. He was almost crazy. But he came back to his senses. He recognized the one true God, and he was restored to the kingdom. I think it's very remarkable that this king from a foreign land, this king that had gone to Jerusalem to conquer it, was able to recognize the one true God to such a degree, while many of the kings of Judah didn't. It is very remarkable how many of the kings of Judah had men that were false prophets and false teachers and false pastors teaching him, while this king in a foreign land had a real man of God teaching him and helping him. I think it's a very remarkable record. And this wouldn't have happened if Daniel wouldn't have been there. Go to Daniel 5 now. I remember when I started reading the book of Daniel years ago, I really enjoyed reading Daniel 1, Daniel 2, 3, and 6, you know, because those were the easy books to read. In 3, it was always nice to read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fire. And in Daniel 6, it was always nice to read Daniel and the lion den. And then I go to the other chapters of Daniel, and it was like, you know, I'll read about the lions and the fire again. You know, I'll let those wait. And, you know, Daniel 4, 5, 7, 8, up to the end of Daniel, it was like, oh, it's not that easy. It's not that interesting. It doesn't have that much action, you know. I like the action-packed chapters, like Daniel 3 and Daniel 6. But these other chapters are fantastic. Go to Daniel 5 in verse 1. Belshazzar, now Nebuchadnezzar is not the king anymore, now is Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Remember when we read in Jeremiah how some false prophets were saying, oh, you know, don't worry about the vessels. They're bringing them back. They're going to be back. And Jeremiah told them, not only they are not coming back, but the other vessels that are here are going to be taken there. And how we saw that eventually a king was going to use them to drink and get drunk with his friends and concubines and wives and everybody else. How terrible. Verse 3. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and shew me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O kingly forever, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now, it is very interesting that apparently King Belshazzar didn't know anything about Daniel. And yet, he had called a very big group of people who were counseling him, but not with godly counsel. Not too much time had lapsed since Nebuchadnezzar had been king, and yet Daniel is already out of the picture with the new king. That really was one of the worst things that happened to this new king, not to have Daniel's advice, not to have Daniel as an advisor. Verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Uri? The king knew about Daniel, but the king didn't know Daniel. This was a terrible mistake the king made. He didn't have Daniel as an advisor, but he had 1,000 princes and friends to eat and drink and be merry with. Verse 14. I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. As we can see, he really didn't have any respect for this king. He had served Nebuchadnezzar, but with this other king, things hadn't worked out apparently. The king didn't want him, and until he reached this situation of desperation, he finally called Daniel and offered him gifts and everything, and being the third in the kingdom, in exchange for, you know, Daniel telling him what was going on. It is interesting that this king offered Daniel to be the third in the kingdom, when Daniel had already been the first one in the kingdom after the king. So, in a sense, he was promoting him because Daniel had gone down, as we're going to see, but Daniel was not reaching what he had had before. But that was not the point. The point is that this king didn't care any about the true God. He didn't care at all about the true God. And when he offered Daniel gifts, Daniel said, you keep your gifts. I don't care about your gifts, but I'm going to give you the interpretation. Verse 18. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. So that king was very powerful. If he wanted, he slew people or he kept them alive. He set them all up or he put them down. 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men and his heart was made like the beast and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. What a fantastic revelation. The king tells Daniel, listen, if you tell me what's going on with this dream, because it has to be the dream. I mean, I know I've drank a lot, and that moonshine they brought from that new region we conquered, maybe it was bad, but it's the dream. Just tell me the dream, and I'll give you anything you want, and you'll be the third in the kingdom. And Daniel said, I don't care about your gifts. And let me tell you, your father, the king, he was a very powerful king. If he wanted, he would kill people or he would save them. He could put them down or he could put them up. He was a very powerful king. And when he got a lot of pride, he fell. But he eventually recognized that God is God and he honored God. And you, his descendant, you know that's true. It's nothing new for you. You know that he, Nebuchadnezzar, worship the true God, and he recognized the true God, but you are not doing it. On the other hand, you've taken the vessels of the temple and you are getting drunk with them. And you are worshiping the gods of gold and silver, etc. And you don't care about the true God. Therefore, let me tell you. Verse 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, uparsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. This was the end of this king who didn't care about the one true God. And we will continue reading after we take a 10-minute break.